Chapter 10. As we open our prayer meeting, you might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah and chapter 10. And in our study, well, before we do that, here's our country in which we live. And in our country right now, as we have progressed, the foundation, Psalm 11, etc. If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Now, here's a foundation for our country. How do you measure how good the foundation is? What would you measure? You would measure the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. These two documents are the basis of this country in which you live. Take them away and you have no basis. You have no guideline of why this country is so unique. Now, so when that happens, then, and as it's being deteriorating, the aggressive termites are eating it up, as it were. And as you see that, then you know the foundation is not in good shape. And when the foundation finally falls, being eaten up, as it were, then it falls. Like all nations. That brings us to our study. Here is Jerusalem, Judah, and they have existed since way back in the days of Joshua. And all the way coming down the corridor of time, they have existed. Now, and there have been battles in and out, as we've shared last time. And they had enemy attacks and all kinds of things, and they fought the enemy and they beat the enemy or whatever. And Jerusalem and Judah, Benjamin are still there. But this time, and for the first time, Jerusalem is going to be all gone. And the people are going to be taken in captive for the first time. Now, so if you were looking like Jeremiah as we've been studying, here is the foundation of Israel is God and His Word. You leave God out and take His Word away, and you've got nothing. Where is Israel? It isn't. So now, having said that little bit, if you get the analogy, the comparison. So here's our country. Here's the nation of Israel in Jeremiah's day. Nebuchadnezzar is on his way in at the door. At the door of the city, as it seems. So now, in the light of that, we share together in chapter 10. Remember that God, verse 18, God was going to sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they may find it so. So it's going to be as it is. In other words, they're going to say it isn't going to happen, or it isn't going to happen, but it is. It is going to happen. But no, but it is going to happen. Now, and adding to that, as we shared, verse 19, woe is me, Jeremiah, looking at the whole situation and feeling it on behalf of the people. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is my grief, grievous. And I must bear it, the word bear, to carry, to lift up a load, to lift up a load, to carry, to endure. Jeremiah, God said, it has to be. Jeremiah says, I have to live with it. Since God says it has to be, then God's people have to live with what God makes happen. And that's where Jeremiah is. Yeah, I have to live with this. I can't. It isn't going to go away. And as we shared, verse 20, my tabernacle, my tent is spoiled, destroyed, laid waste. And all my cords are broken, my children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set my curtains in place. And Jerusalem, the land, is like a great tent, and the tent is torn down. The cords are all ripped away, and all the people that would rebuild the tent and make the tent, all the people that do that are taken captives. There's no one left in Jerusalem, as it were, to build the city. The city's just going to be in ruins after Nebuchadnezzar. And we shared together then. So now, having that little bit of background to remind us where we did, now, in the light of that, if you go with me, please, in verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, Jeremiah is going to intercede on behalf of the people, as it were. He's going to look to God. But he has to look to God in a very limited way. Very limited. Because why? Chapter 7, if you would. In chapter 7, and picking up, please, in verse 16, 7 and 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear it. Hear thee. Now he's going to repeat that in verse 11 and verse 14. God is going to tell him again, don't pray. Don't bother me with this and say, God, you've got to do something. Don't bring it up to me. Leave it alone. It has to be, you bear it. It has to be. Hang on to that. So you can't pray like that. No, it's forbidden. He's forbidden to pray. But what does he do? What is he praying? chapter 10. If I can, and in verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. I know the humans, and I'm going to be like Jeremiah. I'm not able to go, God, and change. I know I shouldn't, you aren't going to stop it. It has to be. I have to live with it. It isn't going to go away. But God, you know, you already know, in your judgment, I don't want you to stop your judgment, but in your judgment, as always, would you be merciful? I'm not telling you to stop your judgment. I'm looking for mercy in the judgment. Now hang on to that. That's what you're doing. Isn't that how you got saved? You look for God. There is nothing. What are you resting on? You're resting on the grace and mercy of God to deal with your heart. Isn't it? God doesn't owe you anything except he died for you, and therefore he owes you. But otherwise, apart from that, he doesn't owe us anything. We're expendable, like Jerusalem, like Nebuchadnezzar. God, you're going to have to be, said Jeremiah, you're going to have to be merciful to us. We as a people, verse 23, the way of man, the humans, what about us humans? Well, us humans are just morally and mentally weak. We are ignorant. We are willfully ignorant of your word. We are willfully ignorant of your person. We're reaping what we have sown. Jeremiah looking at humanity. We are powerless, purposeless. We have no provision to handle anything. God, we are frail, faulty, and what else can you say about us? And O Lord, verse 23, O Lord, I know I know, I am no, I understand as a human being the terrible plight of being human. You remember in Psalm 103, without turning there, God said, I take pity upon you. I know your flesh. You are but as a flower of the field, as a piece of grass. You are here for the moment and gone. Apart from me, I know that about you. Jeremiah, what are you going to do? I'm going to plead to God for a bit of mercy. Not to make it go away. No, not to make it go away. No, not that. Not that at all. In fact, hold your finger here, we're doing just a little different. Over, if you would, to Ezra. After Babylonian captivity, after the 70-year captivity, Ezra chapter 9. May I pick up, please, in verse 30. Well, now we're going after Babylon has leveled the city. And the city's leveled. So God's going to send back a group of believers that are got ready for God. And they're going to seek to rebuild the wall and the city, etc. Chapter 9 in Ezra. Listen to their... Are they conscious of mercy? Oh, yes. Chapter 9, picking up. I'm going to go to verse 8. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, security, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us reviving. No, a little reviving in our bondage. In the beginning of verse 8, a little space. Not a lot, not a lot. We got all these generations, the grandchildren, and all. No. Would you just give us a little space? There's children, grandchildren, they all line up. But we can't, that's a whole nother ballgame out of our hands. God, all we can say is, for a little, a little. Here we are, a bunch of us trying to rebuild the wall, etc., in the city, temple, and all that. And here we are, just a little group, that's all. And all we want is a little grace. We don't want a lot of grace. Just a little grace. Just a little. A little time. A little time. Wow. So God, you owe me for the rest. No, I don't, God said. I owe you my... We'll pick it. I don't want to start, get there. Do it yet. Chapter 9 now, in verse 13. After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less, there it is, less than our iniquities deserve. Thou hast given us deliverance as this. God, you granted us, Jeremiah's prayer, a little bit of mercy. And God, you gave it. That's why we're here. After 70 years, we're back here. And we're just a little, all we want is a little, God. But God, did we learn a lesson from Jeremiah back there when Nebuchadnezzar? Did we learn anything? Aha. Verse 14. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations, idolatry, wouldst not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? God, if we repeat the whole thing again, why should there be anyone left? Verse 15, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. And they had to go fix the problem, remember. They had to fix it. And they knew it. God, here we are, and we're guilty. And if we keep never learn anything out of it, and we repeat the process, and we never learn anything from yesterday, then we're going to have the history repeated, and each time it's going to go down and down and down, and there'll be nothing left. So now, back over, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 10. And the way of man... The way of man is corrupt, corrupt, terribly, terribly corrupt. Now, And just think of his Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. In himself and of himself, of his own, in and of and by himself, without you, God, this, it's not going to work out any old way, shape. It's not going to work out. Now, and this is going to go. So what are we looking at? Just to get a little bit ahead of ourselves. What about our future? Looking down, and that's what Jeremiah is looking for, the future, in the light of what's happening in Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city. He's looking at the future. Here we are looking at the future. God, we need a little bit of mercy. And God, we know that if you don't do something, nothing's going to happen. Because humans, in, of, and by themselves, cannot solve anything. And they have no way to answer the future. No matter who, what, when, where. I'll give you an illustration, a silly one. I'm going to take 7 days from now, next Wednesday. Now, who would like to predict for sure anything about next Wednesday? You say, well, I'm going to eat at 6 o'clock. How do you know that? You think that. You may not eat at 6 o'clock at all. You don't know that. You don't know it. So the future, here we are trying to get the future. And that's the issue now, because God, the future for Israel right now in Jeremiah's day is ruin and captivity. So now, Genesis 6, verse 12, that the people did evil, what? Continually. They were corrupt. They were corrupted in every way. Corrupted. You couldn't find any good thing. Arms, legs, go all the way down. Is there anything good in them? No, nothing but death. Nothing. Nothing. Corrupted. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if you would, Proverbs. Oh, before you do that, that's a good thought. Jeremiah chapter 10, and picking up in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, the nations, their religion and their politic, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen, the nations, are dismayed at them, eclipses and meteorites and all of that. And they counted that as a phenomenal, wow, something going on. Don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't do that. And chapter 3, going back, don't learn their way. That was their trouble. That's what they did. They learned the way, and they held on to that way. Chapter 3, and in verse 21. In verse 21, a voice, remember we've read, a voice was heard upon the high places, up where they built the altars and the idolatry, weeping and supplication for the children of Israel. In other words, all the idolatry they did, and they built all these idols and followed suit, did everything the other nations did, and high hills and monuments and statues and everything. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. Why? For they have perverted their way. They have perverted the way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. They have forgotten. Jeremiah, what are you saying? I know the way of man. And God, you know us humans. You know there's no way anything's going to come out of us that's going to fit anything that you have in mind. No way. It isn't going to happen. Not for us. Not by us. So God, you're going to have to be merciful to us. I realize we owe what you're going to do. We deserve. We reap what we sow. We're going to sow. We've sowed and we're going to reap it. Now, over if you would, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs in chapter 1. All kinds of ways to do this, but here's one of them. in Proverbs chapter 1, remember the encouragement is, the fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So now, in the light of that, verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, remember, don't learn the way of the heathen, the nations, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Now, sliding down, if I can, to verse 27. When your fear cometh as a when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why not? Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me, wisdom, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So God, here we are looking, and if they would pay attention, but they aren't going to pay attention, then they're going to learn the way, they're going to stay in the way of the heathen, of idolatry, they aren't going to turn to you, God. And it's going to happen. So Jeremiah, nothing's going to change except God, you could be a little merciful in your judgment. Over to chapter 14 where you're here. In Proverbs chapter 14. And picking up that which you know quickly. Chapter 14. And in verse 12. There is a way, I know the way of man, Jeremiah said. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Did you learn anything? Are you learning anything? That's the issue. God, here we are looking, and we're looking to you to work out your wonderful way and your wonderful work so that you could do so, that we would be the beneficiaries. So Israel isn't praying for mercy. Jeremiah is, and a remnant of believers, I'm sure. But no one else is. So God, are you going to be merciful? Yes, he is. We just read it in Ezra. He was merciful. Now, over, if you would please, go with me for time. Isaiah 53. Lock it in a little bit. Here we are. Jeremiah, you know the way of man. And in the process, God, what do we know about humanity? What did Jeremiah evaluated humanity properly? He didn't say there are good guys and bad guys. He said we're all unworthy. And apart from you, God, we have nothing to offer. Isaiah 53, in the light of the coming crucifixion of Christ, going to verse 6 directly. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God, we have all gone our own way. Jeremiah, what are you saying? I know the way of man. The way of man is in an oven by himself, all by his lonesome. And God, do you know that? I do. Everyone is turned, each one encourages the other one to do the same thing they do, which is ends up learning the way of the heathen. We're doing what everyone else is doing. Each one do your own thing in your own way, in your own time, for your own reasons, and reap whatever, for good or bad. Now, having said that little bit, and while you're here in Isaiah 53 on this word thought and that, over to verse 55. Isaiah 55. The way of man is not in himself. And for the believing heart that gets encouraged in understanding and claiming God, you said don't pray, but God, we can certainly say, be merciful to me, a sinner. We can certainly say that. Isaiah 55, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, W-A-Y, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So, God, you mean to tell me when everything is at the end, and I turn to you, it's utterly, utterly at the end, and if I turn to you, I'm going to find mercy. That's right. You're going to find mercy. That's what you're going to do. So it's all through, it's hopeless. Whoops. There is mercy. Now, hang on. And not in mercy, he will have mercy upon him, and so our God, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And, verse 8 again, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and, verse 8, neither are your ways my ways. See, Jeremiah said, I know the way of man. I know you know the way about us. You know how we do everything, because your ways are higher than the heavens, and we're down here doing what we do, disconnected from you. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, looking to God, if you would, and in the light of that, over, please, in your Bible, Second Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles, picking up if I can, in chapter 12, 2 Chronicles 12. Now remember now, we're looking at the I know the way of man, I know the way that is in man, to direct his steps, Jeremiah 10. And in the process, he's doing that. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, and it is not in man to walk it to direct his steps. So God, no, so here you're looking. You know, God, we're being straight about ourselves and anybody. God, there's nothing in us that merits a reward, merits your attention, anything. We can't claim anything in and of and by ourselves because you condemned it on Calvary's cross. So how am I going to take something you've condemned and offer it to you when you've already condemned it? So I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And they aren't doing that. So we're humans, and we're going to be straight with you. Think of 1 John 1, 8, 7, 8, 9, 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive whom? And we make God a liar. So we don't want to start off with, I'm not too bad, God. No, you don't start that way. You say, thank God for saving my soul. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. When's the last time you said that? Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Never hear that. You know, wow. So now, God, and thus, over in Chronicles, what did they need to do? They needed to go and direct. They needed to get to the direction. And the word direct, as we're looking at in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, means to stand firm, to be fixed, upright. To stand firm, upright. To be in a position. to be in a position where you're holding your own. You're walking, the man is walking, Jeremiah 10:23. He's walking, going down the corridor of time. He's having a behavioral way of life. He's doing it, and it isn't up to man. Man can't direct his steps. He can't do it. He can't put the few, he can't move in such a way to go down, all the way down the corridor, and hit what God has in mind for him. He can't do that. You can't, the blind heart can't see. The God of this world hath blinded the minds, M-I-N-D-S. Can't see. So we're trying to work, that's the whole world, global, everybody out there, all doing their thing, the gay agenda and each agenda is doing what it's doing to gain power, position, some kind of future power, control. Now, so here's an example of people that we do that, but God, is it work? No, it doesn't work. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, picking up in Rehoboam. Remember, the kingdom is divided after Solomon, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Chapter 12, verse 14. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. The word prepared, to direct, to fix, to point at a target and go for the target. Go shoot the arrow at the bullseye. Direct, fix the target, lock onto it. And in verse 14, because he prepared not, he did not set his heart to hit the target. God. God is the target. He didn't do it. He just didn't do it. And to do it one other place where you're nearby, over to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, and may I pick up, please, in verse 3. This is on Jeroboam, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. And verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, idolatry, and hath prepared, lined up your bow and arrow, as it were, lined up, prepared, direct thine heart to seek the Lord. Rehoboam, you don't want to hit the target. Jehoshaphat, you do. So do you want to hit the target to get out of it? And Jeremiah said, I'm going to look to you, God, to be merciful on behalf of this city, on behalf of this people. And that's what he did in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, Psalm 57. If you would. You know, here's a little word, direct, to fix the heart, to lock onto the target, to set it in order. And in Psalm 57, may I go to verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, till these calamities be overpassed. God, I'm going to have to be in them and through them. And God, I'm going to look for your mercy and hang in there till they're all gone, till you finish the chastisement and punishment and judgment. Now, verse 7. My heart is fixed. There's your little word, prepare, to direct. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed and set. My arrow is in line. My target is in front of me. I'm going to shoot the target. I'm going to go for you, God. Jehoshaphat. And now here's the psalmist crying out, as it were, David, what are you going to do? I'm going to go hit the target. God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Boy, are you going to benefit? The calamities are there. Every problem is there. Absolutely. But my heart is fixed. Wonderfully, wonderfully fixed on you. Israel? Not you. Jeremiah? You, yes. Your heart is fixed on God. So are you going to be able to endure, to bear it all? Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. Now, having said that, Psalm 37 while you're here. Psalm 37. And remember the steps, the direct way, all those words, back and forth. And now, here's Psalm 37. And David again is going to help us. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered, there's your little word, ordered, directed, prepared, set in order to hit the target. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So God, if Israel will look to you, then their future, you know the future, you can make the future as you wish in your good will, if they would just look to you. But they aren't looking to you. So what do we know? What do we say? Well, the remnant, an individual believer, in the midst of it all, Jeremiah, what are you going to do? You're a good man. Your heart is directed to the Lord. You care about what's happening to Israel, and we do, and the country. Verse 23. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So, God, we may stumble along the way, but God, you're right there to get us up and to get us going in a good way, to keep us going. Now, God, in the process of that, here's all these things happening. Now, God, what are we going to do? Well, and you should Jeremiah, do you understand the world in which you live? Do you understand that everything is hunky-dory and everything just gets better? You understand it isn't like that. It just keeps going downhill because humans keep developing everything and they have less communication with me and more with a smartphone and iPod and texting and ticking and everything. How about me? We don't have time for you, God. We don't have time for you. We're all caught up. So now, going down, God, though you're going to help us get there. Yes, I am. And I want you to understand, thus, understand what? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, may I pick up, please, the thought, as you know. So here's the future. Now, God, here's the way of man. The way God, the man is trying to devise and make it all come the way he or she wants. But they have no control of the future. No control at all. They think they do, but they don't. Now, so Ecclesiastes, remember, without reading at all, Chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc. And now, a time to kill, a time to heal. Now, sliding over to verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he labored? In other words, we're going to labor. We're doing everything we do every day. Work, home, school, play. We come and go. We do it. We're doing it. Now, what's the profit of going to work, going to school, cooking, cleaning, coming, going? What's the profit in it? See, now where's the profit? Well, there isn't, when you really sit down, because you have to do it all over again. Now, and verse 10, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. So this coming and going, living and dying, everything's up and down, good, bad, easy, hard, much, little. We're encouraged and we're discouraged and we're disheartened and depressed, disappointed, and then we're full of pep and everything's wonderful, and then it isn't wonderful. Wow. Verse And you do that. You let us live like that. You do. Verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful, useful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work, that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So God, here we are going down the corridor of time, and up and down, we have easy, good days, you feel good, you don't feel good, everything goes well for a year, and then it doesn't go good, and all the stuff is going up and down, and we're going down, and we're living our life like that. And we keep moving down the corridor of time, and we'd like to think of the future, but we don't have the future, and we don't have the answer. We just don't have it. We'd like it. We dream about it. We wish it when retirement and all this is going to happen, you know. Well, now, over if you would, we hear you in chapter 11, and sliding down, if I can, to verse 14. I know, 3 and 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. That man, why God, you let it all happen like it does. That, God, do it, that men should, verse 14, fear before him. That they should pay attention. See, because you don't control. You think you do, but then you don't. You think you have it, but you don't. So no matter how you cut the cookie, and I was reading somewhere, I can't tell you where, some billionaire in China or something, I forgot the article, over in China, the billionaire, the Bill Gates of China, you know, and he has whatever. And he said there's nothing more discouraging. Once you get over $1 million, you're in trouble. He said, life's a hard thing. He said, I was better off when I did my little shoe shop or something that he did. I was better, I had a happier life. Now I got $1 billion, what good is it to me? You know. And in the light of that, so God, whatever we get and we raise in pay and we feel good and we get another pill and another medicine, we feel better. All of that is up and down, and God. And we're hoping somehow it's going to come out all right. That's what we're hoping. Now, in the light of that, chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. And God, you're going to do it again for us. Chapter 7 and verse 13. Consider the work of God. Who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. You have a good day and a bad day. Consider. God also hath set the one over against the other. God, you let all of that happen as we seek to run our lives in our own way, to the end that man should find nothing after him. When I'm all done, I can't put it together. I can't put it together. Over to verse chapter 8. Chapter 8, and in verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it. So we're always trying to find some solution, some way to work something out, and then we fudge and do it in all kinds of ways. And the word device, to devise, the devices we do. Over, if you would please, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs in chapter 16. And in Proverbs, picking up chapter 16, in the light of that, chapter 16, verse 9, here's a little word. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So here's a man's heart, and a man's heart is devising intensively, It means to bind together, to tie knots, to tie something very, to spin something together and tie it in a knot so it's very secure. In other words, a gal, is a person is going to make his plans, and they try it, and they tie it in knots as if they're going to get it, and they tie it tight so that they're going to get it. A man's heart deviseth his way, the way of man is in man, in himself, but the Lord directeth, there's the word, the Lord's going to end up where you're going to end up. So you can plan all you want, God said. Tomorrow you answer to me. That's what you're going to do. Don't plan it, you do it. Woo, big energy. And here's their countries and here's all the things. And Jeremiah, what are you pleading? Mercy. God, you know what we do and don't do. And nothing we do is going to come out. We can't handle the future. We can't work out the future, God. It's out of our hands. So now, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Is directing it. Wow. Now, so here's the planning his way, causing his steps to go. Chapter 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean. Where are they clean? Where do you feel good about yourself? In yourself. Don't you approve of all your plans? All your activity, we approve of it. We approve of it. It's clean. It's good. We like our plans. Mm-hmm. Not your plan, but my plan is an acceptable plan because that's my plan. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth, the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Spirit of God, you go and weigh them. You put them on the scale and you do it. So now, having said that, verse 2, let's try chapter 19. Chapter 19 again. In chapter 19, if I can, and in verse 21. There, we're picking up our word. There are many devices, plans, in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. So when it's all done and everyone's planned everything, the devil himself can't violate it. You make the plans, we make the plans, we do, but all the plans are subject to you, God. It's your world, you're the creator, you're the redeemer, we are the objects, we are the beneficiaries, it's our privilege to go down the corridor of time with you. You have a wonderful plan and purpose for our that's why we were born physically, to be able to enjoy that. And our sin nature and our ignorance and our indifference robs us of it. Now, so in the light of that, chapter 20, and again in verse 24, a man's goings are of the Lord. But how can a man then understand his own way? Well, God, if you're involved, if you plan this and plan that, one time it's up, one time it's down, one time it's good, one time it's bad. It looks like you're doing good, and the next thing you aren't doing good, and you think you're doing great, and the next thing you're not doing good at all, and you ride the roller coaster up and down as you go down. So God, here we are, man, we do that, but God, are we looking to you to understand that you're in charge of where tomorrow is going to go? I'm going to go down there, but you're already there. So now, chapter 21. And in chapter 21, may I go to verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it, whithersoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to let you do this, but no more. Caesar, I'll let you do this. Nero, I'll let you do this. I'll let everything, so much. Hitler, I'll let you do this. Mussolini, let you do this. Hirohito, I'll let you do this. Let you do it. Let you do it. Saddam and all of that. Now, verse 2, every way of a man is right Where do you feel? Again, we're just saying it over and over again. It's right in your own eyes. That's where it is. It is. That's when we do, God. But the Lord pondereth. He determines. He's the one that's going to determine where it's going to go tomorrow, because there's a whole lot of other pieces, and we think we're going to do this, and we think we're succeeding and succeeding and succeeding. But you know, once you've lived today, you've got to go and live tomorrow, if you stay alive, don't you? And you don't know tomorrow. You think you do. And when you live through tomorrow successfully and doing everything you should and wanted to do, then you got to go to the next day. And you never know. You think you know. You feel good because it worked out. And then you got to somehow have something going, because you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know. And so when you leave, and there's no God, if I leave God out, then I don't have any hope. And I don't have a companion, Proverbs chapter 1. I have someone that knows where I'm going. God, you know where I'm going. And you have a wonderful plan for our life. No question about it. Over in closing, if you would, over to Ephesians. Remember now, as we do it, Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Israel, what about Israel? You were given, Exodus 19, to be the prized, precious people of all the world. And if Israel held on to that when they crossed the Jordan, that's what they would be today. And we wouldn't be here, probably. They'd be the people. And God would bless them, and would have blessed them century after century after century. But you know what? They didn't do it. They didn't do it. What a wonderful plan you had. And God, and that's because they didn't honor you. And how are they going to ever have it work out? Well, you're going to be merciful, and coming up, the tribulation's going to take place. And then the millennium's going to take place, and you're going to raise up that nation in one 24-hour day, and that nation is going to be your nation, 100% for you. Wow. Now, so here we are, God. Here we are, just little old people, boys and girls, men and women. And God, what do I know as a believer? You created me. You created us. You redeemed, you died on the cross for us. So God, what do I know? I know Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that it is, and not that of yourselves, the gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. So we aren't going to, it's a gift. So it isn't because we're good guys or bad guys. For reason, we are his workmanship. God, it's your work, created in Christ Jesus. New creatures in Christ. God, we have a wonderful, wonderful advantage. We're new creatures in Christ, created in Christ Jesus, under good works, a good, wonderful, wonderful journey. So before you were ever created, I had a plan for you. I had a wonderful plan. Wonderful plan. And I died to make it, because you're going to be born in trespasses and sin. And I died to save you before you were ever born. So when you were born, you wouldn't be hopeless and helpless. You'd hear the gospel. You'd know I'm going to prod your heart to believe in me and trust me and seek me. And you're going to have the outworking of what? The purpose I had to create you in the first place. To fulfill it. Israel, what are you pleading, Jeremiah? Mercy. God, you know our frailty. We miss everything. Israel is missing out right now on its privilege. The church is missing out on its privileged position in an awesome way. God, before the foundation of the world, you had all of that. You had me in mind. Your thoughts are higher than God. God said, my thoughts about you are higher and more than the heavens. I say, well, someone who has a plan for your life. Well, I have a plan. Well, what is your plan? See, get married and have 50 kids. I wouldn't do that now. In the light of the present moment. You got the idea? Well, what am I going to do? Have this, a job, a better job? No. No, you aren't going to get that. No matter what you just roll up your sleeves, be content, not content with indifference when you can do things, but do what you can do and trust God as you do it and to outwork everything. Because you don't know what tomorrow is. God, you do. God, the lot, Proverbs 16:33. The lot is what? Cast into the lap. Cast into the lap. And the whole deciding of it is whose? It's yours, God. Thank you. I haven't even gone there yet. Haven't gone there. So Israel, you didn't put God in the right place. You didn't do it. You should have done it, but you didn't. So as a believer, I want to learn. And my country, all I can do, I can't recover it. I can pray for the mercy of God, for the people of God, and that many would get saved in the process of His outworking of all of history, which includes our country. Wow. So God, your mercy. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may what? Have mercy and grace. That's what we're going to do. God, that's what we do. We have no other recourse. God, there's no sense in really worried about all the dumb, stupid the things that are happening in the government and everywhere. Rules and decisions that are made, policemen being shot. I mean, everything's a mess. Wow. And that is nothing compared to the world conditions. We live in a little heaven over here compared to parts of the world. You wouldn't want to live in them. We have a little bit of heaven, it seems. Wow. Anyway, we'll look to the Lord in prayer. I trust, thank you for your grace, kindness.